We're finishing up our last lesson in Epic of Eden, Isaiah. We're in session 8, and this will be a quick session because Dr. Richter does a wonderful job in her video of concluding this study, and I would highly recommend you go back and listen to or watch that video if you can. I do want to point out a few things. I do hope this study together and just these times on the podcast to go over some additional information has been helpful. My first hope is that it's helped you connect some things about Christ. Every one of the 66 canonical books in the scriptures speak of Christ in some form or fashion. The prophets, especially Isaiah, is reminding us what that prophet has come to do and what he will have to do to win back the people of God. So, and there's some beautiful but also very tough verses in Isaiah 50 on about in the 50s of what Christ will do to win back God's people. So I invite you to go back to that. And this really is, these last 2 weeks have been, who is the first servant, who's the second servant being Christ, the one who can do what is necessary to be bring light and to be a witness and to fulfill what is to be fulfilled. And then this week really is the foil to that, the foil being the idol. The idol, which is so prominent in the book of Isaiah, and it's what the people had turned to, but is the antagonist or the foil. Also, just walking through Isaiah, I do hope it's been a help too, to see what do you do. And the prophets are helpful in this. What do you do when the world around you is crumbling, when it looks like God is either absent or, more importantly, people around you are failing and just not caring about their faith or slipping away or when they're discouraged? There's so many good words here for us about Jesus, but also about our response during times like that, when we live in a world that seems very open to spirituality, but it's a self-serving spirituality. It's a spirituality with no morality or a limited morality. So what do you do in those times? But most importantly about the prophets, and we said this a few weeks ago, we get a wonderful picture of God. It's not until the prophets that we really see the ache in God's heart for his people, when he begins to talk about his love for them and his desire to be with them, but also to see this picture in the prophets, that what the prophets enjoy with God is what we are to have. That kind of dynamic relationship, whether the prophet Moses on the mountain meeting with him or these prophets, that there is to be that kind of vibrancy, that kind of intimacy, that kind of communication. That's to be the norm for what we can have. And as spirit-filled believers, as spirit-led believers, that is our right and our privilege. And there's so much here in these last couple of days. You know, I teased with everybody last night. I almost wanted to skip the last couple of days because of this study, because we're in the season of Lent, and it's hard to talk about fasting when a lot of your people have already given up chocolate or sweets. Now you're adding fasting to it. But there's some good homework there on that, and I hope you'll go through the workbook. Again, you will not connect the dots of Isaiah if you simply watch the videos. If you'll do these workbooks, and most importantly, read the scriptures, go back to 2 Kings, go back to Ezra and to Nehemiah to get the history as well as the theology of what's going on. That'll help you connect the dots and really understand not just Isaiah's world, but what it is that Isaiah is trying to say about the Lord and what he's trying to say about us. Now, in her, just to summarize very quickly, and there's some great summary notes in the back of the workbook. There's some great work that Dr. Richter does for us this week, just reminding us about idolatry and the idol, that the idol was an image of God, this kind of incarnation of the gods that you could have and possess. The understanding way back is that these gods were even incarnate. Again, it's just this reminder throughout how close and how similar, not similar, but how close pagan thought can be. They're just scratching the edge of the depth of what's really true faith. But the image of God, this incarnating of the gods, but for the biblical writer, there's actually a word. It's the only time that this noun is used. The verb's used all over the place in ancient world, but the only time it's used as a noun is in the Bible, where the images are called a crafted thing. And it's in a derogatory way. So you've got an Elohim, which our God, we would say with a capital E, they would say that you've got many Elohims, many gods, and you have the images of them. We would say they are simply crafted things. So it really, as she concludes, there's this wonderful reminder again of everything they would do to animate these idols, to bring them alive and say, we didn't really make them, that the gods became incarnate in them. Again, just showing how close they are to the truth of things and how we need to check ourselves because, boy, we can sure get close, but sometimes be very off. And you sure see that in God's people here. That yes, it is not by human hands, but born of a virgin, that Christ was incarnate. There is a need for the gods to come close because, number one, we don't make gods well. We make them in our image and self-serving. But also, we can't get back to God. He can't get back to us without a Messiah, without a atoning Lamb of God who had taken on human flesh and had rightly lived out everything that was to be lived out so he could make atonement for our sins. So, we see how close they are. But again, this critique, and it's okay to critique. There is a sense that we can't judge somebody's salvation. Christ, that's his position. But throughout the scriptures, we're to discern for ourselves and judge for ourselves what's true doctrine and right doctrine. And so in Isaiah 45:20, when they look at these idols, you have this tough critique. Draw near together. Look, these idols, they have no knowledge. These people who carry about their wooden idol and pray to a God who cannot save. You're praying to a constructed thing, and they cannot save. But Christ comes, and when Christ comes, and here's the contrast. She points this out so well. When he comes, he is the image of God. That image that you and I were gifted with in Genesis 1:26, but we ended up becoming like idols in Isaiah 44, and we were deaf and blind like the idols. That's what man became. Our image was marred, and we became like the idols we created. When Jesus comes, Dr. Richter reminds us in Colossians 1, he comes as the image of the invisible God. There's that direct connection. Again, they're so close where Jesus says, I am the incarnation of the image of God. And I didn't come as a wooden idol. I came as you. I'm the exact representation of God's being, Hebrews 1:3. And I will, in 2 Corinthians 5:17, this is on the notes in 198, I will repair the image that is being remade in you so that you will have the image of God remade and can be conformed, as Romans 8:29 says, into the image of God. And you can know newness of life, Colossians 3, 9 through 10. That makes a connection to Acts 1. Which is very helpful. If you're made in the image, and you go back to the Israelites' call in the book of Isaiah, they were called to be a light unto the Gentiles. Again, it's what Simeon, when he takes Christ into his army, says, here is the one who's not just the hope of Israel, the hope of his people Israel, but he is a light unto the Gentiles. That's the claim over Christ just days after his birth. And so if we are to be now the image of God to the world, as Jesus says, you are now the light of the world. So Acts 1:8 says, not only do we have power, and we love to focus on that, give me feelings, give me power for living. He doesn't just say that. He says, if the Holy Spirit comes, he will give you power, but you shall be my witnesses. And he gives those four areas, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the utter ends of the world. So again, Matthew 5:14, you're the light of the world. Matthew 1:8, you are now witnesses. This reminder, Christ has come. He is the image of the invisible God, and he is incarnate. He's given himself for you so you can be remade in that image so that others might see. Not a created image, that's off limits, but seeing you be remade in the image of God, that's been the purpose all along, and that's when people will see God, when you and I reveal his light, reveal his will, live his ways. So it's a great study then to think through who God is, what he desires for us, also to be critical of this culture and how they will try to pull us from our God to the gods of this world, but be reminded again to become what the first servant was supposed to be, that the second servant, Jesus Christ, has allowed us to be through his cross and resurrection, a servant who is a witness, a servant who is light. I hope this time together has been a blessing to you. I hope you'll come back over the next couple of weeks as we look at the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit. Again, you and I cannot live out who we're supposed to be. without the leading and the empowering of the Holy Spirit. So the next 2 to 3 weeks as we finish out our spring, I hope you'll be back for those times of study.